This week on the Time Bat Show.
Maybe it's kosher because there was like the plague in the Old Testament, and they're like, all right, locusts are good. You can eat.
What are we going to do with all of these? Yeah. Well, we could eat them.
Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode 100 and something, I want to say 107. I'm your host, Time Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And welcome to the show. It's 108, actually.
I cool.
Just looked it up. 108. That's a cool number.
It is a good
by
number.
By the way, it's the holiday season.
It is. And
you know what that means.
Before we get to that, the number 108, I wanted to... I just wanted to share something with you. Doesn't that sound kind of like a haunted hotel number?
It does, yeah. 108.
Wouldn't that be the one to choose?
Room 108, yeah. I would stay there, yeah. Have you ever stayed at a haunted hotel?
I've stayed at some hotels that, like, were haunted by dirtiness, if that makes
sense. I mean, like, have you ever stayed at a hotel that has been, like, claimed to be haunted, though?
Maybe.
You don't know.
I don't...
How is it...
Okay, that I know of.
I was at one once. I feel like it was in, like, New Orleans or something. And it claimed to be haunted. Nothing happened. But I was, like, excited because I was like, oh, this is supposed to be haunted.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. New Orleans, that's kind of the haunted city, right?
Right?
There's just ghosts everywhere.
That's where you go. They, like, hang out there.
Yeah.
They're just, like, chilling out. You know, like, have you seen the movie Coco?
Yeah, the Pixar one?
Yeah, you know how there's, like, a bunch of, like, dead people in Dia de los Muertos, and they have, like, their own dead city, like, their ghost city or whatever?
Yeah.
I imagine, like, that's basically New Orleans, like,
it's just ghosts. Yeah, me too.
All over the place, speaking French and eating fish.
Beignets.
And beignets. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Ghost town. Anyway, it's holiday season.
Yeah.
Now. And yeah, it's a good time of year, I guess. What do you how are you holding up this holiday season?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Holidays are kind of tough cuz
mm-hmm.
you know, everyday life there's already a lot going on, and during the holidays it's just like they just pile even more on there.
Yeah, they do.
It can be tough to keep up.
Yeah, I come to this realization this year in my life that when I was a kid, the holidays were like a special time. You know, you're like really excited about it. You get you don't have to go to school. You get presents. Da 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 da.
See all your friends.
You can see all your friends, all your family. You know, it's fun. It's a fun time. As an adult, you slowly get to this point where you're like dreading it almost. It's like, oh man, it's a lot to do. I got a lot of responsibilities. Like, I got to travel. I got to get gifts. I got to,
yeah,
you know, da 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 da. I got to finish all my work up before the break. And this year, like, I mean, you feel like that, you know, steadily for a while. But I think the good outweighs the bad most of the time. This year, especially, for some reason, I like December rolled around, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a nice holiday break soon. You know, this will be good. And part of me was like, oh, I can't wait until this break is over so I can just go back to work, like, mm-hmm. regular. You know what I mean? And that's, like,
yeah.
a really sad thought, isn't it? Like... Oh, I can't wait till it's over and it's January and I just can do normal things again.
Go back to work again.
Ugh, such a terrible thought.
It's not, I mean, it's not terrible because, I mean, are you really actually getting any time off? Because at my job, at least, I had to do like 3 weeks worth of work in 1 week.
Just
to get ready for the break.
I mean, I do get time off, but like last month was crazy because we all were scrambling to get stuff done before the break. So it's like, I see what you mean. It's like, yes, like, it's annoying because it's like, oh, got to scramble to get all this stuff done. But then instead of getting, like, a nice vacation where it's like, okay, I got a week off, it's like you have a vacation where you have to do all this holiday stuff, which, don't get me wrong, I love my parents, I love my family and everything, but it's exhausting. And it's like, this isn't the kind of vacation I want at the end of, like, a really big, like, kind of a crunchy work. I want just, like, a week to sit in my underwear and watch old movies, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I need. I need a recharge week. Not a hectic week, but... I don't know. It's rough.
Yeah, that's why it's tough. I don't know. Getting older, I guess that's part of it.
Yeah, it is. And my birthday comes up, and every time I have a birthday in my adulthood, I have like a mini existential crisis.
Yeah, I love those birthday crises.
Although, it's not as bad as it was last year, because last year was like, come June, it was like the rest of the year was just one big nervous breakdown. But December rolled around, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to be 31. And then I'm like, what have I done with my life this year? And I'm like, you know what? Not a lot. Not a whole lot.
That's tough for you, too, because, I mean, your birthday, already a stressful time.
Yes.
They put it right at the end of the most stressful time.
It's right after Christmas. It's on January 1st, and it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of a curse. When I was younger, I thought it was cool, but I think it's a curse because it's at the end of the year. It's after the holidays, which is already stressful, like you said. And then plus, like, you know how everyone has New Year's resolutions come the new
holiday? I was just about to bring that up, yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm going to change the way I live, you know? So I have that to deal with, but also my, like, birth year to deal with, too. So it's, like, cumulative. It's like, you know, oh, you're turning a new age, and you should start fresh for the new year. So there's, like, a lot of pressure, I guess, imposed on myself.
It's like twice the introspection all in one time period.
Exactly. Like, I should really get better for the new year, and also I should really get better for my next year of life. And they happen to coincide. Ugh, I don't know.
My birthday is perfect. It's in June. Nothing is happening then. Nothing's happening. Like the slowest time of year.
You can just chill out. Like, I'm so jealous of that, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, my birthday, I think it's because it's at, like, a holiday time. I always feel like, we talked about this last week of, like, the thought of, like, I should do this. No, I'm not going to because, like, you know, there was that discussion of, I should really do this. And then halfway to, like, going to the place, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't want to. Like, it's weird or I'm nervous about it. Like, when I have my birthday, I'm always thinking, like, oh, it's, like, the festive time. I should do something for my birthday. Like, I should do something fun and like festive and cool for my birthday.
Yeah. Something outgoing and like
energy. Meet and like talk to people that I like and like hang around with, do things that I'm enjoying, you know. And it's like pressure to have fun for myself, you know what I mean? And it's like super stressful, you know. But I think part of it is because it's the new year and it's right after Christmas, so like you're already kind of in that like mood. But like in June, I probably wouldn't give a shit, and I think that's awesome because you're just like, yeah, like, what are you doing for your birthday? It's like, I don't know. I'll figure something out. Like, whatever. No stress. Like, whatever. Yeah. Whereas I'm like, oh, it's just after Christmas. Like, I need to do something. It's the new year. Like, I feel like I need to, like, have something, like, to do or whatever. But
It's tough. Another tough thing about the holidays is I've noticed that it seems like all the, like, the background to living, like your car title, your bills, it seems like a lot of that like happens in December. Like, you have to get a new title for your car. You have
There's always something in December that happens.
Do
you have like a story about this or something?
No, I mean, I had to renew the title for my car, and I don't know, you have to go to the DMV, you have to pay money. It's like, you have to deal with that area of
deal with life that you existing. Don't like the shitty parts of life that no one wants to deal with.
Yeah.
I have a specific story for this that literally happened to me like a week ago.
Okay, share your story.
So I think I told you this last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I sold my old car to some really shady
guy.
You remember me telling you this story,
right? Yeah, he was like, I'll offer you some cash. Yeah.
I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it was just a shady deal. So I signed the title over to him. About 6 months ago, which is a year after I had sold my car. So six months ago, I sold my car a year and a half ago. 6 months ago, I get a bill in the mail from the toll company. And they're like, hey, you owe us this much money for this car. And it's a picture of my old car. And clearly, the person that bought it never changed the title over to themselves. They're driving my car around illegally with my license plate on it and everything.
Great.
Which, my mistake, I should have took my license plate off, but you live and learn, right? Mm-hmm. So they're doing this, and I'm like, this is stupid, I'm not paying this. So I call up the DMV, and they're like, well, we don't see a new owner or whatever. And they're like, we can put a freeze on this bill so it doesn't get, you know, so you don't have to pay it for like 3 months while you get this resolved. So I was like, fine. So they freeze it, and then I fill out some form that, like, indicates my intention was to transfer the vehicle. And then I send it in, and I hope they get it, and I forget about it. Because I'm like, I haven't heard anything back. Hopefully this is fine. Hopefully they'll see this and be like, all right, he doesn't own it, whatever. Last week, I get something else in the mail. And it's another bill for the car. And, like, my first thought is, like, great, now I have to deal with this.
You know, he's probably, like, running around, like, dealing drugs and, like, firearms and stuff in their car. That's what
I thought. And I was like, someone could be, like, committing crimes with my car.
That's totally what he's doing. My license
plate, and it's, like, horrible. So I'm, like, I spend, like, 2 days, and I'm, like, and, of course, this happens on the weekend, so, like, the DMV's closed, so I can't contact them. But I'm, like, anxious as all hell. Like, I'm, you know.
Yeah, it's all you think about.
That's the problem with my anxiety, is that if something anxious happens to me, I will not stop thinking about it until I get a resolution, regardless of if. And, like, so it just ruins me for, like, 2 days. I finally call into the DMV, and I'm like, blah, 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 this happened. And actually, luckily, someone did register my car in July of this year. So someone now owns my car.
So was I'm not it the same any, person that...
I don't know. I'm not going to get any more bills. But now here's the weird thing that I don't understand. Yeah. Someone has registered my car. They show a new owner. If that's the case, why did I get a bill in December? If someone registered my old car to them in July, like, why did I get a bill? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's a bit of a discrepancy there.
To me, that means they somehow registered the title to themselves and left on my old license plate, which I'm pretty sure is also illegal.
Yeah, that's so, like, totally illegal.
Something weird is happening. And the person on the phone, I, like, brought this up, and they're like, oh, it's just a different owner. And I was like, I don't think you're understanding what I'm getting at here. Like, why am I getting billed for this, though? And they're like, oh, it's a different owner. The wires got crossed. So I was like, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And they didn't, but... So like,
I was going to say, I was thinking about this recently too, especially because I just renewed the title on my car, and it seems like every so often you just get contacted either by phone, by mail, by someone who's just like, oh, by the way, didn't you know that you need to pay us money to live? Like, whether it's insurance or whether it's the government or someone, homeowners association,
something. And there's, you don't really know about this until, like, the moment, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, where's the list of, like, all the things that you need to pay to the different people to live in society?
The annoying thing is, like, you forget about it until it happens, and then you're like, oh, god damn it, it's these people again, and I need to give them money or whatever. And, like, the annoying, real annoying part of that is being an adult, you don't learn this anywhere, right? This isn't taught to you. You just have to learn the hard way. Just be like, oh, shit, yeah, when you turn 25, you have to pay the I turn 25 tax of $1,000. And you're like, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, you didn't know that?
Like, no one tells you these things. You just have to learn, like, the hard way. And it becomes really stressful for me. And a lot of people, I'm sure. But
yeah, it's a huge stress, and it's a huge, I don't know,
burden.
We live in, like, the age of information and the internet and everything, but I still get surprised by this stuff, like, all the time.
Yeah, me too. And I, like, forget about it until I get it, and then I'm like, oh my god, damn it, I have
to. Yeah, and it causes me stress, which causes me to put it off, and then they charge me late fees, and it makes me mad, man.
Yeah, like, I refuse to pay the first one that they billed me in June. And it was like a dollar. And I was like, I'm not paying this. My principles dictate I'm not paying this.
Yes.
They mailed me another one, like, months later. And they're like, because you didn't pay, we charged you a $15 late fee. So, I'm too nervous to even look it up now. I'm sure it's, like, really
expensive. It's like $3,000.
But I'm like, I'm not paying it. It wasn't my freaking car at the time. But I have no documentation to prove that, of course.
You just have your word as a human.
I have my word. I mean, now someone has transferred the title, but by the time I got that, when I got that ticket, that no one, like, it was still legally under my name, so. I don't know. Some idiot. I don't think it was this. Oh, no. Yep. I didn't know if I was supposed to clap there or not.
I don't know.
You were just talking about who decided to make all these systems so complicated.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day, and I thought the only way this could have become this way is if it's like the old mafia, right?
Yeah,
this is an old criminal organization.
Yeah, it's either that, or I honestly think it's just no one decided. It was just like, here's all these systems, and we don't really have anyone in charge of all of them because they're too complicated, you know, to know all of them. So they just kind of piled on each other, and then now we're left with a shit show that we've got now, you know, all
this. Yeah, every new generation just adds more shit to it.
That's an interesting topic of conversation that I don't think is discussed really at all. I've never heard anyone talk about this before. We've talked about, like, infrastructure crumbling and, like, the need to revitalize it, but we don't really talk about this social infrastructure, I guess we could call it, you know, like, the social systems that we have in place, like the DMV and Social Security and
taxes
and, you know, your electric bill, your water bill, your, you know,
different building codes that make you pay shit for where you live.
All these things that you have to rely on as an adult that kind of stack up, and you realize over the course of your 20s that, like, oh, this exists. No, that was a thing. This exists, you know what I mean? But you bring up an interesting point in that we've added more and more as the generations of this country has progressed. And in 50 years, how many fucking systems are we going to have in place? And all these people are going to have to, you know, deal with them? Like, you're going to be spending most of your time dealing with this, I feel like, at some point, right? The end is like, oh, I go to work, I come home, and I deal with a bunch of shitty things that I have to deal with, you know?
I mean, if the idea of progress holds true, I mean, there's a man whose job it is to make more systems, mm-hmm. and he has to, because that's his job.
That's his job, yeah.
So there must be more and more systems as time
goes on. Isn't that a scary thought? There's this man's job that's like, I'm going to make more shit.
That's his job. He has to.
See, if I was the, you know, the lord of the country or whatever the hell you call it, I would make that man's job to consolidate the systems into as many smaller systems as you can get, you know? Because to the average person, these things are confusing as hell. And I think the other problem, really rich people and successful people can afford to hire experts to do all these things for them.
CPA or something.
Yeah. Whereas, like, the average Joe just has to find this stuff out the hard way and be like, oh, shit, I did this, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to, and now I owe the government $2,000, you know, or whatever.
You know? You just have to continually get taken advantage of until you learn.
You're just shit out of luck in that scenario. And that really sucks, you know.
So, this is a good segue. Hmm. So, I think the reason maybe apocalyptic movies are so popular these days are because we're so bogged down by these stupid systems that don't do anything that people just have this fantasy of, what if it was just all wiped out,
what if
wiped
I broke clean? Free of it?
Yeah. What if I could break free? What if it all just shut down and it was just me left in the world?
And I think that's a great fantasy to have, and I think we've all lived that fantasy kind of before. Yeah. Not lived it, but like dreamt it or whatever.
So I watched a movie recently. Mm-hmm. It's called I Think We're Alone Now, and it was released in September of this year.
Okay, tell me about it.
I was looking on a movie website, and I saw like the poster for the movie, and it's a really cool poster. Mm-hmm. It's got...
I'll look the poster up right now, but keep talking.
Yeah, it's got like a music festival vibe kind of poster.
Okay.
Anyway, the movie is about...
Is that Peter Dinklage?
That's Peter Dinklage, yeah. He stars in the movie, and it's one of those, you know, he's the last guy left in the world kind of movies.
Okay.
Everybody's died, he's left alive for whatever reason, and he meets this girl, and then it's just about kind of their relationship and how they kind of survive in this apocalyptic world.
Okay.
But the reason I really dig this movie is because there's, like, almost no talking in it. It's all the exposition is just, like, visual. And I'll give you an example. At the very beginning of the movie, like, you know, most apocalyptic movies, they have that narrator that tells you 50 years ago.
This is how the world ended. Yeah.
This is how it, like, they just really bludgeon you with all this information.
Backstory, yeah.
Yeah, well, this movie, you learn slowly by what Peter Dinklage is doing. Like, the first scene in The first scene in the movie is him going through a house. He's dressed in kind of apocalypse garb. He's got like a bandana over his mouth so he doesn't breathe stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's doing the Fallout thing where you like loot what's useful, like batteries and like pictures that he likes. Mm-hmm. But then it shows you when he's looting, there's a wad of cash on the counter. He ignores that, but takes batteries. Mm. And that's how you learn, oh, there's no use for money.
No anymore. Money anymore. Yeah, that's cool. So it's like a visual storytelling.
Yeah. Kind of. And like later on in the movie, he's sitting in his bed and he's watching a movie on a laptop and the laptop runs out of batteries. Mm-hmm. He grabs a new laptop and resumes watching the same movie. So it's like, oh, I guess there's no power grid.
Yeah.
Like, there's tons of stuff like that in the movie and it's so cool.
That is cool. So it's worthwhile seeing.
It's so good. It's like one of my favorite movies. I'm probably going to watch it again tonight.
That's crazy. How is it reviewed? I've never even heard of this movie.
It got a 5 on IMDb.
Really? That's really low.
Yeah. Everybody hated it. They all thought it was boring, but
It was cool, though.
Yeah.
So where did you watch it on? Like, what service or whatever?
Streaming service.
Okay. I'll have to look at that then and watch it.
Yeah.
Did you rent it or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check this out. I think we're alone now, huh?
I think we're alone now. It's got a great soundtrack, great atmosphere. I love Peter Dinklage now.
He's good, yeah. Interesting. So it's kind of like, is it a typical apocalypse movie or is it kind of
deals with no, something? It's got this weird dark soundtrack because there's not a lot of talking and there's a big twist, but I won't reveal it.
Yeah, don't tell me what it is. Well, I'll check that out and we'll have to talk about it. You're rant about systems breaking down and everything. Have you ever seen Falling Down? It reminded me of another movie. Have you seen Falling Down?
Maybe. Douglas. Who's in that?
Michael Douglas. It's from like the early 90s, but like he's like a average office worker and he's like stuck in traffic, another human system that we've invented for some reason. Mm-hmm. And he gets really frustrated and he starts like killing people.
I mean, who hasn't had that fantasy?
No, but it's like he basically lives out the fantasy you described earlier, where you just like, you're like, the system is dumb and I'm going to do something about
it. Yeah.
So he like robs a bank and like, I don't know, he like just does things that he wants to do because he's like, this is all stupid. And there's like one scene where he's like at McDonald's and they're like not giving him breakfast because it's past 11. And he's like, this is stupid. And he like holds up the McDonald's to make so they can make him a like McMuffin or something.
I love movies like that where it like it lets you live out this secret fantasy that you could never have in real life.
And it's like a really violent and terrible, like he's a violent and terrible character, but like you relate to him because you're like, yeah, I want to do that sometimes too. Everybody does because the world's a frustrating place sometimes, you know, and I don't know.
And isn't it scary to think that, like, every individual person has that capacity? And yet we somehow are living together in this system, even though it's so heavy and difficult.
I think if we were pushed far enough, everyone would do that. But
oh, yeah.
It's kind of a miracle that we don't all murder each other every day. You know? I think it's most obvious when you're driving. That's, like, mankind's modern miracle. Like, how is it that we have, like, 100 million people on the road at any given time, and they're not all just murdering each other, like, outright, you know? Like, how is that? You know, like, there's a lot of auto accidents every year, sure. But compared to the amount I would expect as a person that doesn't know statistics, like, I would expect there to be a lot more. But yet, like, we're good as humanity. We're like, we figured that out somehow. And we're like, we're good. No one's going to kill each other on the road. We're fine, you know.
Yeah. Let's say that there was no driving at all, and then someone came up to you with an idea, and they were like, what if we gave everybody these cars, and they're like multi-ton murder weapons, and everyone can just do whatever they want.
And they're driving around on a road 80 miles an hour with each other, and there's like 100 other cars on the road. And you'd be like, no, that sounds like certain death, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, well, how do you, you know, let other people know what you're going to do? Oh, it's a system of mirrors and lights.
Like, what?
That'll never work.
Like, it sounds like a crazy idea, but somehow it works. And like, and I still don't understand quite why, like, how we're so good as humans, like, as a group to, like, do that. Obviously, there's accidents, but, like, overall, like, it's a working system somehow. And I don't really understand how. My fear with self-driving cars is once we get, like, used to that, if we ever go back to, like, a system where people have to drive, we're going to just kill each other so bad because we won't remember what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the scary thing about self-driving cars is, I mean, you have this human equation that's working, not perfectly, but it works. Mm-hmm. If you introduce the AI to it, it's, I mean, we don't control those machines.
Yeah. I just think driving is just something humans are able to come together and mutually do well somehow. I don't really understand how they do it, but
yeah,
it's like really cool. You know how ants are really good at like building things together or whatever?
Yeah.
Like that's their talent. Like our talent as humans is being able to drive 80 mile an hour death machines and not kill each other every day. Like that's our talent. Like that's what we're good at.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but
somehow we are. Self-driving vehicles, though, that's a bad idea. I read a really cool quote recently that made that like perfectly encapsulated why we shouldn't be doing this, and that's every artificial intelligence right now, all the really good ones, no single person in the entire world understands how they work. the way they make these AIs is they train them using massive data sets,
right.
And they don't know why they work.
The data is,
Yeah, at the end, it's just that AI has learned something and it works, but no one understands.
It's like why a black box. They put something in, they get something out, and they're like, I don't know how I've got to that conclusion, but it did, you know.
But it did.
So, like, how could you, like, if something did go wrong, how would you debug it? Like, you wouldn't because you have no idea how it's working, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like trying to debug the human brain, you know. You can't do that. You can't.
Yeah.
The bugging, but anyway, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Should we do a trivia?
Sure.
Lighten the mood a little bit.
Lighten the mood. I think we've been okay so far this episode on lightness.
I'm kidding.
Okay, I'll have you choose a lifeline. Your first category is going to be religion.
Oh boy, you're really having a heavy first already. I'll go with 50-50. I think I know a decent amount about religion.
All right. Your first question is, what is the only invertebrate to be considered kosher?
Oh, okay.
Is it A, octopus? Is it B, locusts? Is it C, crabs? Or is it D, shrimp?
I don't know why anyone would eat a locust. But, I mean, maybe.
You've never seen a locust and just been like, that looks pretty good, good-looking locust.
I mean, I guess maybe it's kosher because there was like the plague in the Old Testament, and they're like, all right, locusts are good. You can eat.
What are we going to do with all of these? Well, we could eat them.
Oh, well, I know what the episode stinger this time's gonna be. And Moses is just going like he makes a plague, and there's like Jesus, a lot of locusts. Holy shit! And they're all like dead on the ground because they probably whacked into each other. They killed themselves. Like, what do we do with these? Like, well, see what they taste like. I mean, I'm being silly, but like maybe that is how the Jewish people decided that locusts were kosher. Because like, well, we got to eat them. So, time to eat up.
You can't just leave them
like,
there.
Well, it's an invertebrate. It's not allowed. It's like, we'll give this exception. Like, it was a plague. We need them. I'm going to go 50-50. I'll just do 50-50 right now.
Okay. It is either B, locusts, or D, shrimp.
Part of me wants to say locusts, but I don't think it is. I like that story a lot, though. I like the story we invented for locusts.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
My first instinct was shrimp. I'm not really sure why. I kind of feel like it's because, you know, back in the day when Judaism was making all their laws, they, like, ate a lot of animals, and in that they ate fish and shrimp, and probably in that way, like, they didn't consider shrimp invertebrates really yet. They were just like,
That makes a lot of
they're
sense.
They're like fish, you know, they're like a fish, but they're small, you know what I mean? So they're like, whatever. And then when the laws were more like hammered down, they're like, okay, invertebrates are not allowed to be eaten, but shrimp are okay because we've been eating them so long. So it's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like fish, and like they yeah. love the fish.
Exactly.
And not to like they them or anything.
They them, the Jewish people, they love their fish. Yeah. Don't they put like salmon on, I don't want to they, I need to stop theying the Jewish
people. Is it matzah?
No.
There's a special cracker.
It's lox and bagels. Isn't that salmon? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They also, it's the gefilte fish. Have you ever seen that in the grocery store? That's that looks gross.
Is it a Jewish thing?
Yeah, I think it is.
We're really showing our knowledge of the Jewish culture right here. I'm not Jewish, but anyway. I'm going to go with shrimp, final answer.
Okay. It is actually locusts.
Is it really?
It is.
Whoa! I'm so happy it's locusts. So, yeah, you know what? I bet they did eat the locusts.
I think that's why I picked this question. I got this from Survivor Man because he was eating locusts and he was like, did you know that the only invertebrate to be considered whatever is locusts? It's like, I bet it's because back plague. In the Bible days, they were just like, we gotta do something about all these damn locusts.
Like a billion of them. What do we do? They're like, make some soup or something. Make some soup. Would you eat a locust?
I wouldn't. Not like for fun.
It was the only thing you would eat. You would eat it, though.
Even then.
I wouldn't enjoy it. What if they, like, really ground it up, you know? Made like, have you heard of this thing that they do with some bugs where they ground them up into like a flour and then they make bread out of it? Have you heard of this?
That sounds terrible.
It's real. Look it up. There's a video on the internet. So you know how like with bread, you take grain and you like grind it up and you make flour and then you bake bread out of it, right?
Yeah.
So imagine that. But instead of using grain, you use, like, grasshopper and locust, like, legs. And you, like, grind them up into this fine powder. And then you bake a bread from that.
No.
Would you eat that?
No.
You wouldn't? What if you, like, bleached it so, it like, it became, like, not flavorless, but, a, like, very base flavor, you know, and, like, neutral. Still not gonna eat it.
It's still a grasshopper. Like,
it is a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people do this. There's a lot of 21st century people trying to find alternative sources of food. I think we talk about this frequently. And a lot of people are obsessed with bugs as our like source, our future source of food.
Yeah, I kind of get it, too. Bugs are, I guess, really easy to get a lot of.
And they're all over the place.
And, like, bugs, I know there's vegans who are like, oh, we shouldn't kill the cows, they're nice. I don't think there are people that are like, oh, the poor grasshoppers.
I bet there are people out there that are like, poor grasshoppers.
Are they?
Maybe. But
actually, have you ever met a grasshopper? No, they're not real clued in.
But, well, cows aren't very clued in either, to be fair.
But a grasshopper,
yeah, no, grasshopper's less so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a future that people are that some are proposing. Like, let's just eat bugs. You know, it's more sustainable and everything. It just sounds gross to me. I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. That's not good.
You wouldn't eat it. So are you just saying that because you don't like bugs? Or are you saying that because, like, you don't want to eat bugs?
I think both. I both don't like bugs and I also don't want to eat them.
But, like, are you saying that as, like, an individual, or are you saying that as a society? You know what I mean?
As an
like,
individual.
Okay. So, like, society, like, yeah, sure, eat bugs. I'm not going to eat them, but y'all can y'all eat can all
knock the, yourselves out.
Eat all the bugs that you want. I'm going to pass. I'm going to eat my steak and my chicken, da-da-da-da-da. You guys can all eat bugs.
Here's what you do. You feed some chickens bugs, and then you eat the chicken. That's how you do it.
What? But you're still eating chicken at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, but it's not a bug.
That's fair. That's fair. What were we talking about before the first trivia question?
I don't remember. I saw a cool movie. We were talking about the system and how I wish it would just...
The system is down. Do you remember that? The system is down. It's strong.
Yeah.
It really shows my age when I bring that up in conversation. Because some people get it and some people don't. And then, like, I know that they were born between the year of, like, 1985 and 1995. You know what I mean? Like, in that stretch. Yeah. Well, not even that. More like 1988 to 1992. Then you will get the system is down. But if outside of that...
I watched an old Strong Bad video semi-recently.
Did they hold up?
They haven't really aged that well.
I'm not surprised.
For one, they're really long. They're like...
They are long.
They're pretty drawn out.
Yeah.
And well, because it's programmed in Flash, you can't skip ahead.
It's just you're playing the whole thing. You're just
stuck.
You're stuck in this. You're like, I've seen this. Oh, well. Well, compare that with YouTube videos today where it's like, hello, everyone. And they like cut like every 5 seconds. And it's like every video is like 2 minutes and then it's over. You know, they're really fast. Strong Bad video is like 20 minutes. And you're like, wow, this is a long video. This is. And like they'll like spend a long time on like a animated sequence of like, oh, this is Strong Bad dancing for 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and it's because like go ahead.
And he's like still dancing after 2 minutes.
And it's because the animator was like, it took the animator like a month to animate that. So he's like, yeah, you're gonna watch this fucking thing for 2 minutes. Like, what do you how you feel about that? But yeah, it's good. It's a good show. Do you remember all the? We really grew up in like the sweet spot of the internet where like. The thing that was popular when we were kids was, like, the really bad Flash videos. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the really bad ones. They probably don't hold up at all right now. But I just remember a lot of them. I remember Strong Bad. I remember the Crazy Frog or whatever the hell his name, Legendary Frog, like the Lord of the Rings parody videos. You remember those?
Do you remember, like Ziozu, the stick figure fight.
Oh yeah, I was about to bring that one up. That was like my favorite one. It was really popular after The Matrix came out, like 2000, 2001. Yeah, the stick fighting ones. Those were incredible. Yeah,
those are awesome.
Those probably still hold up, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go back and look.
I remember we watched like they had like a whole series, and we watched like all like those over and over again one night. That was, like, a big thing, the stick fighting thing. But, yeah, all those really bad Flash videos. And, like, I enjoyed them a lot. They were, like, low production value, but the people that were animating them, like, they were doing their best, you know?
Yeah, and definitely. They're all, like, a labor of,
like, love
and expression.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they are hard to make. Flash as a medium, people don't really do that anymore.
No, they don't. It's hard. With YouTube... It's so easy to make a video now. It's just, it's hard to find something good because it's all, just feels like, ugh, bleh, you know, just everything's out there.
Yeah.
Whereas with Flash, it's like, in order to even make a Flash video, you have to commit how to learn Flash, you need to know how to animate, you need to know how to make sound, you know, a sound edit, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, there's all these barriers to entry, so, like, you gotta really be committed in order to make a Flash video. Whereas to make a YouTube video, you just need a camera. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, even once you do make a Flash video back in the old days of the internet, you still have to host it, which is another, like, college degree worth of learning you have to get.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you had to figure out how to do back then in the early 2000s, which is a lot of fun for me as a curious boy. You know, it's, like, fun to learn how to do all these weird things on the internet. Mm-hmm. Today, you just kind of, it's done for you. You know, you just go to a site and you're like, okay, boom, upload, whatever. You know, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, today, internet, there's, like, 4 websites that 99% of the people use. Like, most of the population, they only visit, like, 4 different websites.
Yeah, that I think about that often because I know, like, nostalgia is, like, a drug or whatever, but... I do think the internet used to be better because it was more varied, you know? There's more stuff going on. It feels like today it's like just like everything falls into one of like you said, 4 buckets, you know? It's like either Twitter, Facebook, it's like the news,
Instagram,
YouTube, Instagram, and like Amazon and Google, you know? I don't know. That's it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's all you get. Yeah. Pretty soon, you're going to pay subscription fees to access your 4 different websites. There'll be like cable packages.
I hope at that point we go back. Well, I hope at that point someone, like a group, decides to kind of not overthrow the internet, but like rebel against it. And that's where like the dark web becomes like a real thing that normal people use. Yeah. You know what I mean? Be like, screw this shit. Like, we're gonna do our own thing.
Yeah.
And you can come here. Because right now the dark web is used for crime.
Yes.
But like it could be used to just be like, yeah, we're going to do our own thing on this corner of the internet where no one can tell us what to do. You know, we're not regulated at all or whatever. And I hope that's what happens. Like when Google starts charging to use Google and Facebook starts charging to use Facebook, there's going to be a bunch of people that are just like, fuck that. We're going to go back to the old like IRC days or, you know, like the news board days, you know, and
just
make our own thing work.
I hope so.
Be cool. Anyway. Do you want to do some Reddit?
Sure, we can do a Reddit.
I have some good ones today.
I have a pretty good one that kind of segues.
Do it then. Go ahead.
With what we were talking about the internet.
Go for it.
Okay, so this was posted in Ask by Primal Foods.
Mm-hmm. Primal.
And Foods he asks, there's kind of two parts to this question. The first part is, why can't we have a better internet?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a really good question. But then further, he says, if you Google apple pie recipe, which link are you supposed to click? And why are those links chosen?
Wow. This is a deep question.
Who's ever Googled the apple pie recipe or the stroganoff or whatever?
Yeah, you're right. Apple pie. I'm going to Google that right now. Yeah, there's a lot of recipes here. And I don't know which one to click. And they're all... You know, this is a good topic, too. I don't want to go too down the rabbit hole, but ratings on the internet don't mean anything anymore. Is that what you were about to get at?
Yeah, I was about to say all of them have 5 stars.
Yep. Like. And that is the... Oh, my God. I'm so glad we talked about this. I'm going to go back to his original question in a second, but I think we need to go to ratings really fast.
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, when the whole rating system came out on the internet, it was, like, the greatest thing. It was like, this is great. I can see, like, what my peers like, and I can choose this or that. Depending on what people like. Today, that's absolutely meaningless. Because everything, like you said, has 5 stars. Everything.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, then run far away.
Yeah. Like,
there's no excuse.
It's between 4 and 5 stars. And it's like, okay, yeah. 4.3 and a 4.8 mean, like, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if something's below a 4, it's terrible. It's awful. It's god-awful. You know what I mean?
If it's below a 4, it means they didn't care enough to make it a 5. Because all you have to do is just rate your own stuff. It's not that hard.
It's true. But ratings are absolutely meaningless. And this annoys me so much. Because when you try to go buy a thing on Amazon, and you're like, what's the best? And they're all rated like 4.3, 4.5, 4.7. And you're like, what the hell is the one I want? Like, I don't know. Because people love rating things high. I don't understand why.
Yeah. There was a story on NPR about this where a guy tried to get to the bottom. He was specifically looking at sports nutrition and noticed that all of them have 5 stars. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion of the story was that unless you go on like your own detective journey and individually look at each reviewer, see what their email address is, see their history of reviews, unless you go through like a detective process, you're not going to be able to get to the bottom of a true rating.
Because the problem is, you don't know how many ratings are fake.
Yeah.
A lot of them could be fake, you know? And you don't have no one has time to go through the detective journey. The whole point of the rating system is to quickly summarize if a product's good. So it's like, it's completely useless now. And I just don't know what the solution is here.
Yeah.
It's not really a good one.
Amazon is doing an okay thing where they only let verified purchasers do ratings. But the problem with that is a seller will just buy their own product, add it back to their inventory, and then they have a verified review that's like positive.
Yep. And they can do that as many times as they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have a solution for this problem. Like 10 years ago, it's like, oh, this is cool. I love ratings. This is great. But now it's just like every rating is meaningless. And it's the worst on like Amazon, and it's terrible with like recipes, like you said.
Yeah.
It's really bad when you're trying to go out to eat, too.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because you're like, oh, let me find good food in the area. And it's like everything is rated above 4, which means absolutely nothing to me. Because I've been in a restaurant that's 4.3 that I did not like. I've been in a restaurant that's like 3.8 that I loved. Like, these ratings mean nothing. because people only rate things if they hate it or if they love it. There's no like in between, and that's the problem. So like if you love something, you're gonna be like, this is the best thing ever, 5 stars. If you hate it, you're gonna give it a 1 star, and that's it. Nobody rates it in between. No one ever does. But you need the people in between in order to get an actual good rating.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this problem extends to even there are companies that use sort of this methodology to rate their workers, mm-hmm. and the problem is unless someone did real bad, they're not gonna get not a single review.
So it's like you're losing a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's interesting that you say a company though.
Yeah, or maybe, like political polls too. It's the same.
Maybe a solution, and this is like a really terrible like Minority Report style solution, but you have a third party company that comes in and like does their own independent rating of something, and you have like a and you have like a lot of these, right? And they're all going over and they're like, all right, apple pie by grandma recipe on all recipes, let's rate this. And they like do it and they give a rating, and they're like trusted companies, and there's like hundreds of these companies, and they all do this is a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. How? I mean, they're going to get paid off, obviously. Like,
but the point is, like, they're like, they have like cred, right, on the street. Like,
yeah.
If they get paid off too much, then they're not a reliable company anymore.
You know? So it's a balancing act. So
it's a balancing act. You got to like balance it. Like, this reminds me of like Ubik or whatever, right? Because like you got like the good psychics and the bad psychics, and
yeah.
like they do things illegal all the time, but they can't do too many things illegal because then no one would trust them anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah,
this is totally one of those Star Trek episodes where like the jerk captain comes aboard the Enterprise to grade everybody, and he's just like such an asshole.
And he's like, "This is my rating," and then he's like tries to take bribes and stuff from Captain Picard and everything, but like. This is a terrible idea, yes, but like it would kind of solve it, sort of, in a way.
Here's what I think. I think in the short term, it would solve it completely. Mm-hmm. Like right at the beginning, it would be great. You'd be trusted. You would, you know, do good work because you would have to build up a name for yourself.
Yeah.
But once you have that name, it's like
you can do it.
You're open to just take bribes.
Then you're just like, bribe me and I'll give you a good review. You know, trusted reviewer. And that's what a lot of companies are trying to do, not in the business sense, but they're trying to do this trusted reviewer thing where it's like, okay, these people, their opinion is worth more than others, you know, which is a dangerous, like, it's a slippery slope, but like you said, it's a dangerous thing to walk down.
Yeah. Then you get into situations where it's like, listen, if this app, we're going to give this apple pie recipe a 5. If it's not a 5, we're going to kill you. We're going to come to your house, we're going to kidnap you and throw you in the lake.
Like, this is my favorite Philip K. Dick book that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, and no, oh, this is even better. The companies get to a point where they use an AI to rate stuff.
I mean, it's automated, it's faster.
Like, automatically, they get the AI to make the apple pie, and it's like, this apple pie is good, rating 5 stars. And then, like, when they get bribed, they override the AI to get, like, you know, a good rating or whatever.
Right.
And so, like, you have to, like, be holden to the machine that's rating.
It's like, such a good idea.
No, like, everything is beholden to this. Just, like, a stupid apple pie recipe online also gets rated.
That's such a good idea for, no, not like in real life, but as a concept.
As a book?
Like, okay, there's this third party entity and they have this AI that it gets everything. It gets apple pies, it gets politicians, it gets businesses.
It rates anything.
And the story we're going to write in this world is that there's this guy and he just wants to share his mom's apple pie recipe.
That's all he wants.
And then, because, you know, this is part of the society, this is part of society's system, you have to submit that apple pie recipe to the AI. And you know what? It gives his apple pie a 5, but then people make it, and they hate it. And now they're after him.
They're after him. Totally like Minority Report, but with, like, ratings.
Yeah.
And maybe there's, like, 3 AIs, and they, like... 2 of them think it was a 5, but 1 was like, no, it's a 1.
Oh, dude. And you know what? You name them after the 3 wise men. They're like Casper and whatever.
Malchior Balthazar.
Yeah.
This is a really fucking good idea.
It's so funny.
And like two of them are like 5-star apple pie, and the other one's like, no, this is one. And then it like it goes viral on the internet, and everyone's like, oh, we gotta bake this apple pie, and they're like, this is trash.
And this sucks. I hate it.
The worst. And then they like want to kill this guy. You know, they want to go after him for submitting such a terrible apple pie recipe.
Yeah,
but it wasn't his fault. Like he really thought it was good. It was the.
It turns out his just pie just wasn't that good, and the AIs made a mistake.
Yeah, maybe he thinks it's good. Like, it's subjective, right?
Yeah, taste is subjective.
Apple pie. You know, we could call it, like, apple pie, and, like, the pie is, like, spelled P-I. Mathematical joke or something.
I love it.
Well, this is a stupid idea.
That's but it's an actually, awesome idea.
I would read this book, though. It sounds right up my alley. But the solution to this, I think, honestly, is just to get rid of ratings. As hard as that is, like, it's not gonna, it doesn't do us any favors. Like, to go to Google apple pie and be like, grandma's apple pie, 4.8, apple pie, 4.7, perfect apple pie, 4.5. Like, I don't know what the hell which one to use. Like, doesn't help me in any way.
Yeah. I mean, here's what you do. You get rid of ratings, and then people like Amazon just make it so that not everyone can sell their products on Amazon. Only the good ones get picked.
Yeah. And then how do you filter the apple pies, though?
I guess whichever one gets purchased the most.
Yeah. Or, you know, which person that wrote the recipe do you trust the most, you know? Maybe you have a person that's like, oh, this person's good at recipes. I'll trust their apple pie recipe, you know?
You need to hire Grandma Wilson to be your apple pie auditor.
I think we're back to the AI problem, where it's like you have to have a third party that like is judging whether or not this is good or not, but that's still a rating. Oh, yeah. That's tough. But the first part of the question was, how does the internet work, right?
Or
how does
why work? Can't we have a better internet?
The answer to that, I think, is because the internet is a series of duct tape and safety pins and other things of that nature, and I just don't think we as a society can really come together to make it better when it's going in 100 different directions.
Yeah.
That's my short answer, I guess. What do you think? What's your opinion on that?
I think you're right. I mean, the internet is constantly breaking faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, it's really good at breaking.
It only stays up because the smartest people in the world like work 120 hours a week.
Here's a weird
keeping
question.
Keeping it up.
What happens when the smartest people in the world that work on the internet get bored and they don't want to work on the internet anymore?
Then it goes down. We're in trouble.
Because remember, like a year ago, there was this like big security breach in like Amazon, or it was one of the hosting services, and like half the internet went down for like a day. Do you remember this?
Yeah, that was the DYN DNS or something.
Yeah. It was a DNS service, yeah. And, like, that came back because, like you said, really smart people were working on it. But, like, what happens when not as smart people are working on it? Like, you know, who's accountable for it going down? Like, I don't know. You know?
No one.
It's strange. It's strange. It's held together by the good graces of people, too, I think. Because, you know, we have this weird thing going on where, GitHub... Right, like software developers submit their code and stuff. And other developers can take that and use it in their projects. But now if the developer deletes it, then, you know, maybe a bunch of products just randomly stop working, you know? And that's happened before, you know.
Yeah.
If someone updates. And you're basically relying on the goodwill of others in that scenario for your stuff to work, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of very loose and like,
That's a good point. Like, all of the biggest, most money-making ideas on the internet are based off of free software.
Yeah.
Like, if you take Twitch, for example, all they do is take an IRC chat room and, like, a video streaming thing, both of which are free. And suddenly you have, like, $10 billion.
Smush them together and that's what you get.
Yeah.
But if that goodwill runs out, where are we at? You know, we're not really in anywhere. We're screwed, I feel like. And we're also relying on these giant corporations to have goodwill, too, right? Like Google and Amazon and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if they start being like, screw you guys, then, you know, you're out of luck. You know, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. So why can't we have a better internet? It's a problem of experts and who the experts really are, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really know. I think it's just too many parties going in different directions. Like, if we had one person that was like, I'm in charge of the internet, then maybe it would work, but yeah, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
I want to be president of the internet.
President of the net. You have to call it the net.
The net situation.
I'm ready for trivia two if you want to do it.
Okay. Trivia number two, I'll have you choose a lifeline, and the category is going to be history, I guess.
I'll do 5 second Google.
Okay.
Speaking of Google.
It was a good choice for this question. Yes. And it is, in what year did Lois Graham become the first woman in the United States to earn a PhD in mechanical engineering? Is it A, 1949, B, 1959, C, 1969, or D, 1979?
Damn, that's hard.
So, first woman in the U.S.
mechanical engineering degree.
PhD.
PhD. Mm-hmm. So part of me is like, 49 sounds right. But then I'm like, you know what?
The world actually sucks.
So. Yeah, the world doesn't do that fast. It doesn't go that fast. But then I'm like, 79, that's really late. I feel like it would be earlier than that, right? Yeah. So maybe
that's like 50, Terminator.
Yeah, maybe like 59 is the sweet spot. Like, yeah, I could see that, you know. But maybe not. I think I'm going to go with 50. Like, I'm not going to go with it, but that's going to be where my gut falls. And then
Is 59?
Yeah, I'm going to 5 second Google. What's this woman's name? Lois Graham.
Lois Graham.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready whenever you are.
You've got 5 seconds in 3, 2, 1, Google.
Lois Graham degree.
3, 2, 1, bzzzt.
Damn it. This didn't help me. Oh, wait. All right, so this is what I see on the Google. Lois Graham was the first woman to graduate in engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in 1945, which means in 45 she got her undergrad, which means 49 I bet she got her master's. I don't see that, but unless she waited like a long time to get her doctorate. So I'm going to go with 1949, final answer.
Okay, it was actually 59.
What? Damn it! Ah, so she did wait a long time.
That or it was very difficult.
That's
her being the first.
Oh, I bet you that's what it was.
So your intuition was correct.
Wow. That's crazy. I bet the school was like, I don't want to give you a PhD or whatever.
You're a woman. You can't be an engineer.
Yeah, she probably had to fight for that.
Yeah.
Well, my instinct was correct. Google failed me. If I had an extra second to click on the link, I probably would have got it. But
yeah.
What are you going to do? My instinct was right, though. Are you ready for another Reddit?
Yes.
Okay. How far do you take an imaginary argument while showering?
Really far. Too far.
Really far? This is kind of an offshoot question. The really reason I wanted to mention this question, because I don't really do a lot of imaginary arguments. I will. But what I really wanted to talk to you about, because imaginary arguments are a subset of this, is how many times are you in the shower or doing whatever, and you're like rehearsing a future conversation in your head? You know what I mean? Be it an argument or something you have to talk to somebody about or whatever. You know what I mean?
Not that much, actually.
Oh, really?
Okay. What does happen to me, though, is the imaginary argument thing. What'll happen is maybe something, like, I'll have, like, a slightly negative experience with a person, and it's, like, no big deal, but there was a minor misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding, yeah.
And then in my head, I'm just like, wow, they hate me. They're gonna just throw me down on the train tracks and run me over.
Sure, sure.
And I go through all these, like, situations in my head where I, like, have to defend myself and justify my actions.
Wow, you go real deep then, huh?
Yeah. I feel guilt really easily.
Yeah. Isn't it the worst when you, like, are replaying things you've said and you're trying to, like, construe them and, like, I hate that. Like...
Yeah.
Because I do that a lot, too. And then you get into this headspace where you're, like, trying to discern the meaning of what this person said. Like, are they being that... like, you said you'd think they, like, hate you or whatever, right?
Right.
It's like... Mm-hmm. So you're, like, analyzing the sentences they said, and you're, like, now was that with malicious intent or not? Like, I can't tell. Like, and you're trying to, like, you, like, play it back. And
what I do is I, like, I weigh words where if someone says a word, like, bad or worse or, like, a negative word, I'm like, okay, that's minus points. But they said something like sunshine, and that's, like, plus points.
Positive a point, yeah. Like, they were nice to me the day before, so that's probably a good sign, right?
So I've got that going.
So I've got that. I've started with bonus points. Like, yeah. Ugh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually, for me, I just kind of have to take a step back and being like, and just tell myself, okay, you're just being paranoid. You need you're to being, just, yeah, you need to shut your mind up and just stop what you're doing.
You're crazy or whatever, yeah. It's hard to do. It's hard to shut your brain off, but you have to do it sometimes. What food has made you wonder, how did our ancestors discover that this was edible?
Lobsters.
I think we talked about this before.
Like, who was like, yeah, there it is. That's what I want to eat.
They, like, accident. I imagine, like, it was an accident. Like, they were fishing for fish, and somehow they got this big red thing on the line. And they bring it up, and they're like, what the hell is this thing? And someone in the boat is like, I'll take it. I'll eat it. Give it to me. And then they spend the rest of the afternoon, like, figuring out how to actually cook the thing so that they can eat it. And I bet you that's when we decided as a society, just throw them in a pot of boiling water. Even when they're alive. You know.
Wasn't the story I've heard is that they used to feed lobsters to criminals as, like, a punishment, I guess.
I've heard that, too. I don't know if it's true.
I don't know if that's true.
I bet it is. I mean, they're basically the bugs of the sea. Like, they're giant sea bugs.
Yeah.
You know? But they're, like, a delicacy or something. It's weird.
Yeah. Have you noticed, like, most delicacies are just, like, gross things dipped in butter?
Yes.
Like, think about chicken livers.
Escargot, right? Is the same.
Escargot.
One. It's like, ew. And they're just like, oh, but we're dipping it in butter. So. The thing about, like, delicacies is, like, everything that's not a delicacy is not a delicacy because it's good, it's relatively cheap, and it tastes good, and it's filling, and it has stuff. Delicacies are, like, things like. They don't do anything for you, like, nutritionally, and they don't taste particularly good, but no one else is going out of their way to eat them, so it's, like, really challenging to make them edible.
Yeah.
So it just, like, costs more money. But yeah, escargot. What was the other one you mentioned?
I've heard, like, eyeballs, livers.
Ugh. So gross.
Like, organ meat and stuff.
Have you ever eaten, like, a delicacy before?
I've eaten a bunch of weird stuff. I like to eat weird stuff, but...
Tell me one of the delicacies you've had.
When I was in Las Vegas for Evo, I ate something called a Sacramento omelet, which is lamb brains and testicles
and eggs. Oh my god, you actually ate it?
Yes.
How much was it?
It was the cheapest appetizer at a steakhouse, and that's why I got it, and because it was weird.
Wow. Was it good?
It was... I wouldn't, like, make one, like...
At home?
If the ingredients were free, I wouldn't take them and make them with my eggs.
That's fair. You'd be like, I'm going to put some cheese and bacon in this omelet instead.
And brains in there, yeah.
Sacramento omelet? Is that what
it's... Yeah, it's like a Spanish thing.
Oh, interesting. That sounds gross, though.
I've eaten, like, fried livers.
I don't like liver.
I do. I like those.
I used to like liver when I was a kid for some reason. Now I think it's disgusting. Probably because I realize what it is now. It's like,
it's
the part of the animal that gets all the shit out of it. Like, that, like,
that's another common delicacy.
Yeah, trend. It's like, like the part of the animal that, like, removes bad things. Let's eat that thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, why are we eating this? All right. I have one more at Reddit, and then we can do a final trivia.
Okay.
This kind of is interesting because it's what we were just talking about, sort of. What has become harder as technology has gotten better? We talk about the internet a lot.
Sleeping.
That is a good one. Sleeping is harder. Because there's so much more to think about these days.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know if that's why you were thinking that.
It's easier to be wound up and like engaged when you're trying to lay down.
It's hard to disengage.
Yeah.
Because you can go on your phone and be like, something will make you angry. And you're like, oh, that's dumb. And they're like, well, it's time for me to go to bed. And then you go to bed and you're like, that's so dumb. You're just thinking about how dumb that thing is.
Yeah. And then you like need to get your phone back on so that you can unwind and undumb the dumb thing that made you mad.
And I think that's the annoying thing about the internet. It's like, there's so much meaningless, dumb things that make you angry.
Yeah.
But we as humans are like, we like want to see that. Like, at some points we like want to be angry about stuff. Like, we can't help it. You know, we're just like, give me that. I want some bad content to make me mad, you know?
Yeah.
But like, at some point you just have to be like, no, I don't want any of that. But it's really hard to do that.
Yeah, it is. Some of my favorite things to read online are by just the worst. Like, I just want to dig into, like, the, these people like, I can't stand. This makes me
so mad. I hate it, but I can't stop reading this. Yeah. I don't know why that is. I just think it's a human condition thing.
I was at work a couple weeks ago, and I happened onto Reddit r/relationships. Mm-hmm. God, there went like 4 hours. I was just engrossed.
In a good way or in a bad way?
In a bad way. Like, oh, these people. Why are people like this?
They have no idea what they're doing. Sometimes, like, you read stuff on the internet of a person, and they're, like, asking for advice or whatever. Like, our relationships is probably a lot of advice stuff. But you read their stuff, and you're like, how did you ever, like, get someone to like you even a little bit in order to even get in this situation, you know? Because they sound like terrible people. And it's mind-boggling, you know?
And there's another angle to it, too. I noticed while I was reading our relationships is, I guess a common thing to do are, like fantasy writings that people do. They kind of make stuff up just to troll people or, like, get... It, you know, elicit a response. Yeah. Wow. So, like, one of the common things people post on that website is, like, oh, I bet this is fake. I bet you someone is just sharing this to get people wound up.
What a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
So, did you go on and post something terrible then?
No. That is something I would do, though.
It is something you would do. We should do our last trivia.
Okay, last trivia question. I'll have you choose a lifeline, and the category is nations, history, something. Nations.
I'll do Monty Hall.
Okay.
Nations.
That was a good choice for this question. It is, the blank trophy is awarded to the British national who demonstrates outstanding skill, courage, and initiative on land, water, and in the air. So this is a trophy.
Trophy, okay.
Is it A, the Excalibur trophy?
Okay.
Is it B, the Sherlock trophy?
No way.
Is it C, the Canterbury trophy? Or is it D, the Seagrave trophy?
The Seagrave? I don't even know what that is, but it sounds cool. I like how all of these are named after, like, British
things. It's like the most British things I could think of.
Okay, so what kind of person gets this trophy? Just a national?
Yeah, he's a British guy or gal who has outstanding skill, courage, and initiative on land, water, and in the air.
So it's not necessarily a military thing, but I don't know how people would be in the air, like, other than being in a plane.
Though. Maybe like a pilot or a mountaineer.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So, the Sherlock, the Canterbury,
the Excalibur.
Excalibur, and the Seagrave
trophy.
Seagrave doesn't sound like a trophy that I'd want if I'm good at doing anything.
Yeah. You know? I'd rather have the Excalibur trophy.
Because if I was a pilot and I got the Seagrave trophy, kind of sounds like I landed a plane in the sea and a lot of people died there.
Yeah, you know? That's like their grave.
The sea grave trophy. Like, congratulations for murdering a bunch of people in the ocean. The coolest one sounds like the Excalibur trophy. It's like, you're a badass. You got this badass trophy, you know. The dumbest one sounds like the Canterbury trophy. Because that's just about a book of a bunch of randos telling stories, telling dirty stories to each other for, like, a while.
Yeah.
I guess it's also a place in Britain, too, but...
And the Sherlock.
The Sherlock could be like, oh, you're really smart. You get the Sherlock trophy. Yeah. Like, you know the MacArthur Genius Grant in America?
No.
Like, okay, the MacArthur Genius Grant is given to, like, people that are really smart, that are doing really good research in America to, like, give them money to, like, do whatever they want, basically. Mm-hmm. Given to, like, professors and, like, scientists and stuff a lot. But it would be funny if Britain's version of that was, like, the Sherlock Award. It's like, you're really smart. Here's a bunch of money.
You're like Sherlock Holmes.
The Sherlock Award. I'm going to do Monty Hall. And I'm going to lock in the Seagrave Trophy.
It is either the Seagrave Trophy or the Canterbury Trophy.
No way. These are both the worst ones. I should have gone with the Canterbury, but then you probably would have chose Seagrave for the other one. Canterbury just sounds so bleh. Seagrave kind of sounds cool. Like, it's like, oh, Seagrave. Sounds like a 007 movie. You know, James Bond in Seagrave.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a guy with an eye patch.
Yes. I'm Lieutenant John Seagrave. And he has like a... He kind of looks like Johnny Quest's dad.
You know? Yes.
But he has an eye patch and he's British.
I imagine him having kind of an anti-hero personality. Like, he's really hard, but he's fair. And
John Seagrave. Yeah. And he's like a spy or something. I don't know. He's really good at his job. Yeah. You can make like a serial book about that guy.
He's kind of like Severus Snape, but works on a ship.
Yeah, he's the captain. But, like, he had a lot of jobs previous to that. So, like, he's a captain of a ship now, but he used to be, like, a spy, and he used to be, like, a lieutenant in the military.
He was, like, an arms runner. He used to, like, illegally run.
He did all these other jobs. Like, he fought in the French Legion or whatever for a while, you know, like...
Mercenary.
He was a mercenary, yeah. He's a mercenary. He, like, was a volcano scientist. I don't know. He had all these, like, really cool... And then, like, the show would be about... him experience like running up against these challenges, and he has to like remember his old
ways
and be like, oh yeah, I used to be able to do this. So it's kind of like a MacGyver thing. It's like
I imagine him kind of talking like this. I've done a lot of stuff I'm not proud of.
You don't want to associate with me, John Seagrave.
I'm a bad man.
He's British, so we can't.
Oh, I can't do that.
I can't make British sound badass. Like, I just can't. Like
Sean Connery.
Like, I'm John Seagrave, and this is my boat. It's a big get off the bow. And he has, like, an antique sword he carries around.
Yes.
Because it's really cool, and he's like, on guard, foul, nefarious beast.
He, like, smokes cigars, and he cuts the tip of his cigars off with his sword.
With the sword, yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Do you think he actually has one eye, or does he wear the eye patch just for fun?
Maybe his, like, one eye is crazy. Like, it just goes...
It's, like, super, like, lazy and crazy eye. Yeah. So, to not make people really uncomfortable, he wears...
Like, it works, but you don't want to see it.
Maybe that's how he, like, confuses his enemies. Like, if they're really, really bad, he, like, takes his eye patch off and he looks at him in the eye with his crazy eye. And they're like, ah! They, like, go insane. Yeah.
There's, of course, like, a poker scene, and he takes off his eye patch and he's like, look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye. And he like, licks his sword because it's cool looking.
Yeah.
I don't know. John Seagrave. Sorry. I'm going to go with the Seagrave because it sounds cool.
Okay, Seagrave is correct.
Really? Oh, man, that's awesome. I wonder if it was named after someone named Seagrave.
Yeah. I bet he's exactly the person we were describing.
I hope so. John Seagrave at your service. Can there be, like, a supernatural element to this TV show?
He has, like
not,
not
a lot, but,
like Pirates of the Caribbean-esque?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's on this boat, and he's, like, maybe he's, like, a merchant marine, you know? Like, he goes around helping people on his boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he gets into, like, really weird sea scenarios where he has to fight, like, ghost pirates and, you know, the Loch Ness Monster or something, you know?
Yeah. Maybe also, maybe he doesn't do it directly, but whenever he helps someone, he'll, like, impart on them stories about his past where he dealt with supernatural elements, like the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I like that.
Or, like, ghost pirates.
So maybe there's no actual supernatural in the show, but, like, his stories, like, that he tells people are supernatural.
Yeah.
So, like, you're like, oh, maybe there's a supernatural aspect to this show.
Yeah, and he like, does stuff. Like, he'll, like, all right, so he's standing on the bow of the ship, and he throws salt over his shoulder. And people are like, so why'd you just do that? What was that that you just did? And he's like, I'm keeping the Loch Ness Monster at bay.
At bay, yes. You need, like, to throw salt over your shoulder.
Like, didn't you know that? It's obvious.
And they're like, oh, well, he knows what he's doing. He's John Seagrave. He's been on the ocean for longer than I've been born.
Did you see that salt he threw over his shoulder? That was...
Maybe he has all these, like, weird superstitions that he does, too. Like,
yeah, I like that.
To, like, leave the monsters at home. Like, he'll, like, draw a cross on his door with chalk every night or something like that.
Yeah, and he erases it every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some stupid stuff. You have to have these dumb flaws as a character to be interesting, like, and he can have really bad superstitions. Yep. There you go, John Seagrave. Do you want to do one would you rather before the end of the show?
Sure.
Because I have a good one.
Okay.
Would you rather be suffering or be dumb?
Gosh.
It's a tough one, I know it. It's really hard.
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like me, like, ideally, I'm like, I'd rather suffer than be dumb, because then at least I know. But as a dumb person, I would totally rather be dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I don't know. This is a question that gets asked a lot on this show, too, and it takes you back to that scene in The Matrix where the whoever the guy is at the steak dinner with Agent Smith.
Yep, it's just like that scene. It's like, I don't care if this steak is real or not. It tastes really good.
Tastes really good.
It's like, does that matter at the end of the day? Like, maybe? Like, I think part of my intelligent being is like, I'd rather be suffering because then I know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
at least it's real.
At least it's real. But then at the end of the day, like, as, like, a base physiological instinct, I think a human would rather be dumb. To not suffer, you know.
And if you kind of go down that rabbit hole far enough, it takes you eventually to, you know, what even is real, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So you're suffering, but is that even real? Like,
is that even sure? Real? Are you like, just really suffering sure? For no reason? Yeah, you could be. What a great way to end That's been episode 108 of the Time Bad Show. Who's our sponsor today, Best Snacks?
Our sponsor today is John Seagrave brand Vaseline. I feel like it's Vaseline.
He uses it to, like, to tidy his beard and whiskers up.
He puts it on his teeth, too, for some reason.
For the best beard and whisker shaping, choose John Seagrave brand Vaseline. For me. No, and then he needs, like, some really nice
quote. It comes with a comb, too.
He's like, for the man's man. Something like that.
It keeps away the hoodoo voodoo ghosts or something.
I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
Remember, when you're feeling kind of blue,
take it through the moo.
There you go. Good night, everyone. Drive safely.
Good night.